Daf is Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. So we got to the bottom of the Mishnah there. The last Mishnah Mem Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah says as follows: Masnisin Haya Rachog Mi Beis Haskila Arba Amos. If the Nidon was 4 amos away from the Beis Haskila, so the Mafshitin also has Begadav. They would remove the clothing from the individual, and Haish Mechasin also Milfanav, and then they would cover up the man from the front. And Isha Milfanel Macharet, but the woman in the that Makam Erva, they cover both in the front and in the back of her. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But Chachamim Omrim Ha'ish Niskal Arum, the Ein Ha'ish Niskal Aruma. Chachamim say that only the man gets stoned while being Arum, but the women do not. There's Machlokis again, whether or not the woman will be clothed while being stoned or not being clothed. That's the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So the Gemara says in the very top of Mem Heyam and Aleph Tanur Rabban, the Brisa says Ha'ish Mechasin Oso Perk Echad Milfanav. The man's covered up. There's one piece of clothing in front covering Makom Erva. Ve'isha Shnei Prakim Bein Milfanav Bein Milacharav. There are two articles of clothing covering the woman, one in the front and one in the back. Mipnei Shekula Erva Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, because that whole entire area, both in the front and the back, is considered Makom Erva for the women. The Chacham Omrim, Chacham argue, Ha'ish Niskal Arum, Ve'ein Ha'ish Niskal As Aruma, like we saw in the Mishnah, that the Chacham hold only the men get stoned while being naked, but not the women. So, Mai Tamayu Dirabanan, how come the Chacham are going to exclude women from this din of being Arum? So, Amr Krad, the Pasuk says, V'ragmu Oso, that they would stone him. Oso is Lashon Zacha, they would stone him. So, Mai Oso, Ilema Oso V'lo Oso, if it means we only stone men, but we don't stone women, that can't be true, but of course women would get stoned if they deserve it. Haksiv, the pasuk clearly says, Votzeis, Votas is Ha'ishahu, O es Ha'ishahai. You take out, whether it be a man or a woman, you take them out to be stoned. So of course women are not exempt from skila. So why does the pasuk say Oso only? Say Elamai Oso V'lo Ksusa, Ha'osa B'Ksusa. That there is something limited that applied to men, not to women. That is, Oso, we stone the man himself, the goof, the body of the man, without his clothing on, but only Oso, only the man is subject to this removing of clothing, but women wear their clothing while being stoned. So that's the drasha of the Chachamim, why women are excluded from the din, that they are stoned B'Ksusa. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and argues and says, no, Omer Oso b'lo ksusa, loshna isha, b'loshna isha, loshna ish, loshna isha. Oso means oso, not oso versus oso. Oso means the person themselves without any clothing, without any chatzitz, if you will, between the stones and the body. There shouldn't be anything. The body, the oso himself, but not to say zacha versus nekeva, whether it be a man or whether it be a woman, both of them are included or implied in the pasuk oso b'lo ksuso or lo ksusa. Gemara now says, interestingly, it comes out of this machlokes between Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, lemeimer derabanan chayshi lehihura, Rabbi Yehuda lo chayshi lehihura. So really the underlying point here, now it gets involved in the conversation of darshan time or the krah or not, because they are bringing psukim here, but the Gemara says there seems to be an underlying reason here why Rabbi Yehuda thinks women are allowed to be unclothed while being stoned, and Chacham say no, women should remain clothed during the stoning. Why? Because Chacham are concerned that if you see the woman not dressed, it's going to lead to hirur. So therefore, we leave the women in the clothing while being stoned. But Yehuda comes out saying that there's no chashash of hirurim, even though the woman's not dressed. So if that's the case, if they're holding in these positions, we learn elsewhere in the Gemara and Sota the opposite. That the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Masecha Sota, HaKoin Ocheiz B'Bigadel, when they're taking the Ishota from place to place, getting her all tired and drained, and hopefully she'll admit to doing something wrong, to avoid having to drink the sota, me sota. So the kohen's ocheiz bibegadeha, it holds onto her clothing strongly. Im nikru, nikru, if it tears, okay, good day, it tears, big deal. Im nifrumu, nifrumu, ad shemik alas liba. Vesosa es sarah, nifrumu, Rashi explains here that if you have a strange, Rashi says nikru is a derech kal nikram, a normal tear. And nifrumu is a kra mishuna, lekan, lekan, lechatichas ketanas. It's torn into pieces. So whether it's nikru or whether it's nifru, that's fine. Ad shemigalas liba v'soses, until even if her chest is revealed, we're not concerned, according to the Chachamim. V'soses sarel, we destroy, we undo her braids or her braids in the hair. Rabbi Yehud, that's all shitas Chachamim. Meaning we're not concerned if she's exposed. But Rabbi Yehud Omer, im haya liba na'a, if she's a pretty girl, so then lo haya megale, we don't reveal anything. Vim haya sara na'a, if she's got pretty hair, lo haya sosa, we don't expose the hair. So we see here that Rabbi Yehuda is very much concerned with hirhurim. and Rabbanan are not concerned with Hirhurim. But we had the complete opposite when it came to the Skila, that Rabbi Yehuda was the one who was not concerned with Hirhurim, that we would stone her while being Aruma. Chacham says, no, she remains clothed. So how do you deal with this stira? So Amar Rabba, Hasam Hainu Taima, the reason over there is because Shema Teitze Mibezdin Zakai. But the case of Sota, it's very possible she could be innocent. So she drinks the Mesota, and Miskarba Purchekuna. They saw her when she was not dressed properly, and they're going to chase after she becomes alive from the base of Migdash. Hacha, here, we're trying to kill her. Hamakala, she's going to be killed. So there's nothing to chase after. She's going to be stoned. There's nothing to chase after, and therefore there is no concern of her being exposed according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda.
What do you mean you're going to chase after?
You're going to chase after. What do you mean? She's going to be alive. She walks out as an innocent woman, and they're going to chase after. They saw what she looked like when she wasn't dressed, so they're going to want to chase after, even though she's married. Doesn't make a difference. Ma'am Genuvim. Yeah. V'chi teima. What do you mean? They see this woman who's going to be stoned and she's not dressed. So if they can, she's dead, so they can't chase after her, but they're going to have Hirhurim and chase after some other woman. So there's a certain klal here. Amar Rabba Gemiri, we have a tradition that Ein Yetzahara Sholet Ella Mimisha Ein of Ro'os. The Yetzahara only works on a person when they see the individual themselves. It's only going to have Hirhurim on that particular woman who now is dead. It won't cause the Yitzhara to have effect on another woman who they haven't seen. So look at Tosis for a second. Tosis says, "Dir maschul ella b'masha ein avroos," only if a person actually saw them. V'ha damar b'sof parakama de Megillah daf tezvav kol ha'omer racha racha miyad nikri. So there, hasam mahamar amar hasam biyoda umakira. So that which the Gemara says, that a person who just says the name Rachav herself is going to be Balkari right away. No, the Gemara explains there, it's only if you know her and recognize her. So that's consistent with the Gemara here, that only if you've seen her will have an effect on you. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rava, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, but the Rabban, the Rabban Lokasha. Why the Gemara only tried to explain Rabbi Yehuda's stira, and why one case there are Hirhurim and the other case there are no Hirhurim? Does that seem to imply that Rabbanan, there's no stira within the Shita of Rabbanan? Of course there was a stira. So Ella Amar Rava says, the Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, like we kedeshanin, like we already answered, there's no stira with Rabbi Yehuda. One case is where you're trying to kill her, so there's no concern of Hirhurim. The other case is she might walk out innocent as a sota, and they would chase after, so there is concern of Hirhurim. But what about the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, nami lo kasha? There's also no contradiction within the two positions of Rabbanan. How so? Because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Vinivasu kol anashim lo sasena kin mizaskena. So the Pasuk says that they're going to see Vinivasu, they're going to be deterred from doing such a thing again, and they won't be mizana themselves. So what's the relevance? Hacha ein lecha yisur gadol mizeh. Here there's no greater yisurim than this itself. So meaning what? That she's going to be stoned. There's no need to have an additional removing of her clothing either. Rashi explains here, Vinivasu kol anashim, around 10 narrow lines down, im loha yu makalkan alsa, ein kan yitzer im tete zakai. Vanu miskabnin libaisha, vafilu hi zakai, shlo nitma, mikol makam pruta haisa, shrei kina la vinistra. So sorry, this is talking about the case of Sota, I think, right? Right, this is the case of Sota. That what again? If they would not be makalka her and, you know, tear clothing apart, there wouldn't be such a great yisur if she walks out zakah. If she walks out innocent, she walked in, she drank mesota, she was innocent, and then she'd leave. And no one would be really deterred from ever being involved in zinus. But we want to intend on being mevayishur. This way, all the women who are around, observing this whole event, they're going to be deterred from doing this again. So even though she walks out innocent, the fact that she was, at least there's a chashash that she was involved in something she shouldn't be involved in, saying she was a prutza to a certain extent. She didn't go this step further to have a maisa bia, there is still this going on. So if she walks out just drinking mesota alive, there's no deterrent. So you want to tear her clothing, make her all feel embarrassed, even though there might be some level of hirurim, but the goal of the sota process is to deter others. So that's why we're allowed to tear the clothing completely according to the Rabban. Meaning in general, the Rabban are concerned with hirurim. They're concerned with hirurim, and that's why we leave her dressed when being stoned. But there's a special din by Beis Sota that the deterrent is going to be greater need than the possible hirurim that the Kohanim are going to have from seeing her.
So Hacha Rashi says, so if Pasuk's going on sota, then Hacha's going back on stoning. In other words,
there you go. It's Rashi Hacha, but Hacha by the Miktile, when it comes to being killed, the case of Skila, Ein Yisr Gadol Mizeh. There's not a greater deterrent than seeing her die. So if that's going to deter everyone, you don't need to have an additional one and have her be embarrassed,
right,
as well.
The sense of having her so embarrassed, you know. I mean, she's getting killed already.
Exactly.
So
that's
take over clothes yet?
Exactly. So that's a deterrent. So that's enough. So the Gemara says, "V'chitei malavid beitarte." So why not do both? She's getting to have a greater deterrent. She's being killed, and also undress her. This way, there'll be a double deterrent to scare everyone. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, Amar Kol. The pasuk says, "V'ahavta l'recha kamocha." You should love your friend. Bar lo misa yafe. You should choose a proper misa. She's already dying. Why do you have to disgrace her and the body and the family anymore? Bar lo misa yafe. So Lema the Rav Nachman Tanaim. Maybe this really machlokas Tanaim. This concept of Rav Nachman about whether we would undress her or not undress her, whether we should choose a misal yafa or not, it's really machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Chachamim. That's the nekudas of machlokas. The Chachamim say we should choose her baralo misa yafa and don't undress her. And Rabbi Huda says, no, we're not concerned with that. We're going to kill her, embarrass her, deter everyone else as much as possible. Much as love, not true. Huli alma islahu the Rav Nachman. Everybody holds Rav Nachman that we always choose a misa yafa. Hard to almost an oxymoron of a misa yafa, but there's a misa, so do it in the nicest way possible. So what's the machlok is whether we take off the clothing or not. Hacha b'ha kemiflagi, they're arguing about the following part. Mar saver bizyono d'inish adifale, tfei minicha degufe, and mar saver nicha degufe adiv mi bizyono. What's going on here? So Rashi explains, the bizyono d'inish adifale, kolomar, gadol be'enav tfei minicha degufe. A person's embarrassment, his covered abrios, is greater in his eyes than his body. Hilkach, noach la shetisakel bilavusha. Better that she be stoned in clothing and protect her dignity. V'tisha lemos, and the delay the death, because if there's clothing on, the stones are not going to have as much as an impact, so she might have a longer period to her death. V'afagav dikat tzara degufa, even though she's going to be pained physically, because she's having clothing as a layer of protection, v'lo tivasa ozo lafshita, but she'd rather be pained in a longer physical pain than being embarrassed in such a way. Hilkach zuhi b'ris misa yafa, therefore it's better to keep her clothed. But the other opinion thinks, no, she'd rather have less physical pain than be embarrassed. So therefore, remove the clothing, even though she'll be embarrassed, at least she'll have a quicker death. So that's the debate of trying to understand the psychology of a person who's being killed. Rather be embarrassed or remove the or minimize the physical pain. There's a fascinating tosis on the top here. Bar lo misa yafe. You choose a proper death. Yesh mefarshim mishum dilreacha kamocha lo shayach michayim dechayecha kodmin. Tosis has this line. I'll read it inside one more time. But the afterlecha kamocha is not referring to loving your friend and your neighbor when he's alive. That we learn from another pasuk, chayecha kodmin. That my life is your life, my life is more important. It indicates, though, I still need to protect you as well, but if it comes to a kedimus, I come before you. But if I don't need something, so then of course I need to help protect you as well, just like I love myself, I love you. But the pasuk v'after lecha kamocha, Tosa says, is not referring to loving a friend while your friend's alive, but referring to loving him when he's dead, after death. It's referring to bar lo misa yafe, choose a proper death for him after he's dead. So that's Tosa's chiddush.
After he's dead? No. Choose a proper death form in the manner in which he'll die.
Right.
And after he's dead.
Correct. So Tosa seems to be, I'm not sure why he's getting this, because it sounds like you're choosing the person while he's alive, how to kill him while he's alive. So Tosa somehow learns from here, though, is referring to after he died for some reason. I'm not sure why, though. Based on this chiddush, though, which again, I agree with you, I don't get how he gets to this jump. But based on this chiddush that v'after recha kamocha only applies after death, not b'chayim, so Rav Yochum for Shapurla says this goes against all of Shas, because all of our Shas we find that they applied the pasuk v'after l'recha kamocha b'chayecha, even in lifetime. So he says it must be there's a kal v'chomer. That Tosa learned that v'after l'recha kamocha applies me misa. So kal v'chomer, you should love a person when he's even alive. That's his jump, he says. Now, once you've established that, he makes another assumption, Rav Yochum for Shapurla, that v'after l'recha kamocha applies only after death. Now, he thinks, since it's only after misa, there is no obligation, no chiv, to go show love to a friend after he dies. But the only thing is to avoid any disgrace, to avoid any sinna, not any hate. It's avoiding anything bad. So he says along the same line, so now once it's a kal v'chomer, just like after Misa, we just want to avoid bad things to my friend who died. So bring the Kal V'chomer to Mechayim, there is no proactive obligation to do things of Ahava to your friend, just avoid things that cause hate to your friend. That's his Chiddush. So he says, based on that, what the Gemara says, when he came to Hillel, the Ger came to Hillel, and Gemara Shabbos said, "What show? Tell me the whole entire Torah, one leg." So what did he say? Everybody says, "Ivatavecha kamocha." It's not really true. You look inside the Gemara, he says, don't do something that you hate to your friend. He didn't say in such a way where you should create ahava, but to avoid sin, to avoid any hatred. So that's how Rav Yochanan Fisher Perel explains. Based on this Tosos, everything seems to connect together. That's an interesting sugya, but I agree that Tosos, I'm not sure where Tosos gets it from. It sounds like bring him a good misa while he's alive, have him die in a dignified way.
Isn't the thing where a person, when they get embarrassed, it's like they're killing him?
Yeah, sure, that's also part of it.
Isn't that a double death?
Yeah.
If you're taking a person, is that what they're supposed to do? Is they supposed to have two deaths?
No, they have one death. That's a good question.
Embarrassment,
yeah.
You know,
good question.
Down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Two deaths.
Good question. It could be many say it's ki. It's only ki misa. It's not really like misa embarrassing someone, so you wouldn't take it.
Well, when your ears turn red, you know, a person's ears turn red.
That's a machlok to be shown whether or not how seriously do we take that equation of embarrassing someone in public to death. But you're right, I think it's a very good question. Mishnah says now in the bottom of Mem Hey Min Aleph, Beis Askila Haya Gavoa Shtei Komos. The height of the Beis Askila where they throw the person off the roof was two levels high. Echa Min Ha'edim Dochva Amosnava. So one of the Edim would push him onto his mosnav, onto, how do they define it, his hips or something. So Rashi says, Kushu Mushkav Parkdin Hu Meguna Yoser. When he's on his lying down on his back, it's a more disgusting, a disgraceful way. So let's say Nepach Alibo. So let's say he turned over onto his chest. So Hof Chal Mosav, we turn him back on his back. This way we want to see him lying there dead on his back. Vim Mace. And if the person dies after being thrown off that cliff, off that rooftop, yotze, you're yotze to the mitzvah of skila. Vimlav, if he doesn't die, or she doesn't die, hasheni notas ha'evin, the second aide, who didn't push him off, takes a rock, a large stone, a boulder, the nosalibam throws on top of the guy's chest, then he mace if he dies, yotze, you've fulfilled the obligation of a chi of skila. Vimlav, if he doesn't die from that big boulder on his chest, regimusa b'chol yisrael, everyone starts to throw rocks at him. It says Yad Ha'edim Tiyeh B'Rishona La Miso V'Yad Kol Ha'am Me'achrona. So the Yad Ha'edim, the hand of the Edim goes first, he gets first dibs to killing him, and afterwards the rest of the Am stone him B'Achrona.
So the Aid is the one that's obligated to kill him?
Exactly.
It's very interesting.
Yep.
I never thought about it.
The Gemara now says Tana V'Koma Shelo Harei Kan Shalosh. Now his height is he's a third level. So now he's really falling a distance of his height. So let's assume each height's 4 amos. So it's 4, 4, and now another 4. Now he's going to be 12 amos high from the top of his head. He's being thrown off. So me ba'in and kule high. Do you have to? It takes almost three floors to kill someone. That's how high you need to be to kill someone. We remember the Gemara in Baba Kama tells us that ma bor shu kdei lahamis asar tvachim. What's the depth of a boar that has the ability to kill 10 tvachim? Now 10 tvachim, by the way, is not a lot at all. It's around 40 inches or so. It's 3.5 feet or so. It's not a lot. But that's what the Gemara says. That's all you need to kill someone. 10 tvachim. So af kidei laham is 10 tvachim. So how come we need 3 komos here? I'm going to just estimate 12 amos. It could be 9 amos, whatever it is. A lot more than 10 tvachim. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba, Bar Avua, Amar Krav, after the Reacha Kamocha, Bar Lo Mita Yofa, to choose a very nice, a dignified death. Meaning, if it's 10 tvachim, he might fall and get hurt. He's not going to die immediately on impact. We want to ensure that he dies or she dies on that first impact. So we raise it higher. Yes, 10 tvachim has the ability to kill, has the ability, but it's not a guarantee. We want a guaranteed death here. So ask the Gemara, if you want a guarantee, Ihachi Nigbe Tvei, why don't you raise it to 10 komos? That's a sure death. 10 floors high and falling off, that's a sure death, more so than 3 komos high. Gemara says, because Mishum de Minval, if the person falls from such a height, so then it's going to, the body might end up, Rashi explained in this passage, it's going to break up into pieces, it's going to be not a very pleasant scene. So you want to have a death on impact, but at least keep the body intact. Gemara now says, Echad mina edim dofo. So one of the edim push off the individual from the base of Skila. So Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Minayin Shabbatachi, how do you know there's a concept of pushing off? Tamalomer, Yaro, the project says, Yaro, in the context of Har Sinai, Yaro is to throw. You throw, you push off. How do you know you'd stone them as well if needed? Tamalomer, Sakol, the Pasuk says Sakol. The Pasuk in the context of Parshas Yisro, I think it's Yisro, it's It's a context of, again, either Yisro could be Mishpatim, the end of Mishpatim, but in that context of Kabbalah Sator, the Pasuk says, I'm reading inside right now, on the side, Lo Siga Bo Yad, Ki Sakol Yisakel Al Yaro Yirara, so no one should come close to Har Sinai Im Behema Im Ish, whether it be a man or animal, Lo Yichi, he won't live, what's a death? Sakol Yisakel Al Yaro Yirara. So Gemara says, Minayin Shebetskilu Ubedechi, how do you know you do both of them, stoning and throwing off? It says a double lashon here to tell us that you do you would do both of them. So Mar says, how do you know if you've just pushed off, that's sufficient, you don't need to stone them as well. Tamalomar, oh yaro yare, even one alone, even throwing off would be sufficient. Minayin shaf ledoros, how do you know even ledoros, this is the din of dechi and skila. Tamalama, the Pasuk says, Sakol Yisakel, also a double Lashon, Rashi's Lashon Asid Yisakel, even in the future Ladaros, one would have to do Skila. Tosa asks a very important question here, because the Pasuk that we just read, it says first that Sakol Yisakel, and then O Yaro Yira. First you stone, and then you throw off. But we know the Seder Devarim is, first you throw off, and then you stone. So our practice is different than the way the Pasuk presents it. So Tosa writes here, Minayin Shebedechiyah, Skila namar tchila bepasik. It's first says to stone. So why do we do stoning second then? Safiil hachi avdin le lebasof. We still do stoning second. Mishum de ashkahan krad de besamach. There's another pasik that says skila le misa. It says in the pasik uskaltim ba'avanim b'mesu. That skila should be close to misa, implying the skila is the second part of the process. So that's how Tosfos addresses it. Other Rishonim give other explanations why skila goes second. Gemara now says, "Im lav aid hasheni noti as evan." If he doesn't die from the being pushed off the base of skila, so then the second aid dropped a large boulder on his chest. So notel that, so he takes it himself. V'hatanya, but doesn't the Brisa say that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer evan ha'isasham masu shnei bnei adam, that the boulder was so large you needed two people to lift it up? So nola v'nosa alibo. Im meis, if he dies ba yatsa. So we see from this, at least, you need to have two people carrying. It's not enough to have one person. How come the Brisa says no tail in the singular? Mara says, wait a second. Ulatameh, according to your Brisa, Tikshilecha, I'm going to ask you. He gufa masoi shnei ben adam. But then it says, no la, v'nosna alibo. No la is lasha, no tail aven. He takes the rock. So your Brisa also says that, even though it's a weight, it's a so heavy, you need two people to carry. It says no tail. Only one person actually takes it and places it. So what's going on here? How do you deal with it? Is it two people or is it one person? So first you roll a boulder together with some other guy. It's so heavy. But one guy gives the push. You're both holding on top here. And the one guy, there's a final push. This way it comes from only one aid. Rashi explains two lines down. One of them kind of pushes off. This way it comes from one person, a strong koach. Two guys are pushing the rock. It's going to be like they're going to be interfering with each other. Those who understand physics, no one's going to push it straight from the same way. They're going to be interfering. It's going to slow down the push. It's going to be off balance, off the mark. One guy is going to have that focus. So therefore, you have one guy pushing it off alone. Gemara now says, "Im lavari gimaso." If he doesn't die from that big boulder, so then the rest of the Am stone him with rocks. So don't we have a Mesorah that never did this ever happen, that never do we have to do the round of throwing this second stone on him? Gemara says, but David, we ever say that it happened? It said, "Di mitzvah kamina." If it was ever needed, if it were ever to be needed, so then everyone else would say, throw a second rock or multiple rocks. The ma'aseh never was needed, but still, we're just talking about a theoretical case that could possibly happen. So Amar Mar Evan Hayisav Achule, the Brisa above said that there was a rock. Is referring to the burying it with the rocks here. That the Brisa says Achas Evan Shiniskalba, whether or not it's the boulder that was stone, he was stoned with, achas eitz shenitlas la, the tree that was hanged, used to hang him, echad saif shenaragbo, the sword that was used to kill him, echad suda shenechnagbo, the handkerchief used to strangle him, kulan and nikbaran imo, all of them are going to be buried with him. Based on the pasuk, Rashi says, kavor yikbarenu, but the idea is, the Brisa says, there was this one evan that was used. Sound like there was a designated evan that Bezin always used. And this is the same stone used from time to time. But the Brayse says the stone that was used to kill the person was buried with the guy. So it wasn't the same stone that was always used. So the Gemara answers, Lo tzicha, de misakne yu maise achrina chalufeyu. So the din is that, no, after they stoned the guy, so then they quickly replaced the boulder in the Bezdin. So there was always a boulder in Bezdin. It was always a different one, but there was always a boulder in Bezdin ready to kill someone, the next individual. This actually comes to mind now, the beginning of Echosha Mishpat. It's the first halachas are Hilchos Dayanim. So it's brought down in the Sma that there are a few different things that Dayan has to have. To be a Dayan, he needs to be equipped with certain equipment, with certain instruments, like a ritsua, he always has to have like a strap to whip someone with, and other things as well. He always has to have a shoe for a chalitza, always has to be prepared. I think he connects, I'm not sure if he quotes his Gemara as well, if a dayan always has to have like a boulder that's always, or a sword that's ready to, ready. But this is the idea that they always have to have these instruments that are always prepared to implement any punishment necessary. Fine. So the Gemara says, Nigbarni imo, is the boulder or the sword or any of these other items buried mamish with the mace? V'atani, the Braisa says, Ein nigbarni imo. The Braisa says, it's not buried with him. So the answer is, Amra papa, my imo, imo betfisaso. It's within reach. He's not buried in the same kever, but it's within dalad amos of the mace that they bury the item that he was killed with as well. So Amra Shmuel, Nikta Yad HaEdim Pater. Let's say the hand of the Edim gets cut off, so then the Nidon actually gets off the hook. He is Pater. My time, because the Pater says, the Baina Yad HaEdim Tiebel Barishona Veleka. You need the Yad HaEdim. The Pater says, Yad HaEdim, the hand of the Edim, to throw first. And he doesn't have it. So Elamiyat, if that's the case, Edim Degidmin Demikara Hachanami DePasli. So you're going to tell me if, let's say, they're Edim who witnessed an event and they don't have hand, they weren't born with hand, or they got cut off, so they're going to be apostles since there's no Yad HaEdim? We never heard of such a thing. So Gemara says, no, Shaini Hasam Damar Kro Yad HaEdim Shaiza Kvar. Now, if a person from the beginning never had hand, so he's a Kasher Ed, whatever he has are considered his hands. He has the same hands he had before. If an aide had a hand when he testified and then lost his hand before the onesh, that's a situation where there's a technicality, the nidon gets off the hook.
So basically, if the nidon is a well-connected guy, you'll...
Exactly.
Up,
Right.
Fine.
So then the Gemara says, Meisi ve, the Braisa says, Kol makom sha'idu shnayim v'yomru me'idim anu b'ish ploni shenigmar dinu b'bezdin ploni ploni Bezdin Ploni, person say that we know Reuven was testified against in that other Bezdin, and Ploni Ploni Edom, and those two people were his Edom, Hareza Yerag, he gets killed. How could that be the case? The Edom have to be Yadar Edom Arishona. Those Edom aren't here. The guy killed someone in California, and the Edom testified in Bezdin that you deserve the death penalty, so he runs away to New York. And I was there, and me and Adam were there, we saw him in California, so we bring him to the New York Bezdin, and we say, listen, he killed someone over there in California. Bezdin says, we could kill him. But asks him, how could that be? Don't you have to have Yad HaEdim Barishana? And the Yad HaEdim are still in California. We don't know where they are. They're somewhere else. So how could you kill him if there's no Yad HaEdim? You have to take Yad HaEdim seriously. So the Gemara says, Targum HaShmuel Behein Hein Edim. No, it's a case where the very same Edim in California chased him down to New York and say, we were the Edim who testified against him. We're testifying against him yet a second time. And then you could fulfill the din of Yad HaEdim Barishana. Gemara says, "Mi ba'in and krok k'dichsiv." Does a pasuk always have to be taken so literally? V'hatani, the Braisa tells us, "Mos yamus yumas ha'make rotzeachu." The pasuk says, "You kill the rotzeach." So, ein li ela b'misa k'suvaba. I only know that you could kill him with the misa that's mentioned in the context, which is saif. You kill him with a sword. Menayin shim iata yachal amisa b'misa k'suvaba. So how do you know if you can't get a hold of a sword, you could kill him with any other way you could kill him? He's so fast he can't hold him down. You could kill him with a gun, a bow and arrow, whatever it is. Kill him in any way that you can. So we see from here that even though it says mos yumas, which always means saif in the Torah, the Joshua takes a liberty of saying that no, you could kill him in any way that you want. So it's not taken literally. Now, the context of this type of misa we're talking about here, Rashi is referring to the Gol Hadamir. There's a machlokas which Gol Hadamir we're referring to, but look at Rashi just for a second. Is that the one I wanted? Actually, no, we're going to wait to that Rashi, sorry. So anyways, the Gemara answers, Shani Hasam, Damar Kra, Moshi Mas. So it's not a chiddush. Normally, we take the pasuk very literally. But in the context of Rotzeach, it says Moshi Mas. There's a double lashon. So when there's a double lashon, so that's open for a drasha. Had not been a double lashon, ein hachanami, you would not have the right to kill him in any other way. we would take the pasuk very literally that you could only kill Messiah. So we still hold our ground that we take the pasuk ba'in and krak kedichsev. You need to take the pasuk at face value. So ask the Gemara of Ligmar Minei. So once we establish that in the context of Rotzeach, you could kill the Rotzeach in any way you could get a hold of him. So to any other mitzvah, you should be able to kill him in any way you could kill him. Why dafka skila? If you can't kill him with skila, shoot him. Why? So why don't we use this as a model? So the Gemara explains, Mishum dehavi Rotzeach v'gol hadam shnei ksumim ban ke'echad. Because it's not Rotzeach isn't the only possibility that we could kill him in any way possible, but v'gol hadam, when a person is trying to take revenge on the death of his relative, a murder on his relative, he could kill him in any way he can. And we have a klal, as we know, v'chol shnei aksuvim abom ke'echa, two psukim that come to teach the same concept, then eim alam, then we can't use as a model for the rest of Torah, called Torah Kula. So the Gemara says, where do we find this? Rotzeach ha'dam, and we already brought the pasuk, how we know Rotzeach, you could kill him, v'chol chomashah teyachal amisa. But what do you, gol adam, where's the source that gol adam, he could kill any way he could possibly kill the Rotzeach? The Tani, the Brisa says, gol adam yomis as a Rotzeach, the gol adam could kill the Rotzeach. Mitzvah b'gol hadam. There's a mitzvah for him to kill him. Minayin she'imein lo gol shebezin ma'midin lo goel. How do you know if there is no gol? There is no relative who's taking revenge. The bezin appoints a goel. Shenemar b'pigo bo b'chol mikol makim. You would find anyone, someone to chase after this roteach, anyone possible. So just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says mishum dehavi roteach ma'nidon b'bezin v'gol hadam klomer misa shegol hadam ma'misa roteach shogeg. The din is that we know Rotzeach b'shogeg, a person who kills accidentally, goes to Ari Mikla. If he walks out of the Ari Mikla, the Gol Adam is allowed to kill him. It's all fair game there. So if the Nirtzach, the one who is killed, has a relative, so that relative becomes the Gol Adam. He's waiting there with, he's looking out, he's snipering. The moment he walks out, he's ready to shoot him. Let's say there's no Karov. So then Bezin appoints a Karov for him. And he could kill him in any way he could possibly kill him. So just like Rotzeach, so too Gol Adam could Yachal Yamisa Bechol Misa Sheyate Yachal Amisa. So since these are two concepts, these two same ideas, we can't apply it to the rest of the Torah Kula. Gemara now says, Amr Lei, Mark Shisha Brei, the Rav Chista L'Rav Ashi. Umilo Bainin Kra Kedechsev? Are you telling me we don't need to take a pasuk at face value? We don't take a pasuk literally? That's not. Doesn't the Mishnah tell us? Haya echar mehen gidim o ilim o chigir o suma o cheresh an einan ase ben Torah Mora. If an individual son who's a very rebellious son and follows the whole path of Ben Torah Mora, he does everything we're going to see in a couple of prakim. He drinks and he steals meat and all these different things. However, he's missing a hand or he can't speak or he's a issue with his leg or he's blind or he's deaf, he doesn't become a Ben Torah Mora. Why not? Shinem Arzit says, V'tafsu bo, we hold him. V'lo gidvin, we have to hold on to him as opposed to this is referring to the parent, right? Yeah, exactly. If you can't grab him, if you're gidvin, you can't grab him. V'tio, so we take him out. If you, the parents, could take him out, but the parents are not capable of walking and they can't take him out, there's a technicality, so the Ben Torah Mora is potter. Vamru, and the parents say to him, Vlo Ilman, and the parents can't, if they're mute, so then they can't say anything. Beneinu Zeh, Vlo Suman, this is our son, but if they're blind, they can't attest really that this is our son. And Eneinu Shemea, Bekolenu, and he didn't listen to us, so Lo Chershin, as opposed to if they're deaf. So we see from here, my time, Allah, Mishum, Debein, and Krok, Kedichsev, all these different exclusions that the parents need to have these requirements, all based on taking the pasuk very literally. So we do take pasukim very literally. So the Gemara says, Lo, Shaini Hasim, De Kula, Kra Yaseru. Not because we're taking the pasuk literally, because each word in the pasuk is extra. Everyone agrees if there's an extra pasuk and the extra word in the pasuk, of course, there's a drasha to be made. We're talking about where the pasuk is not extra, you're just telling us something very straightforward. In that case, do we take everything so literally? So Gemara says, Tashma, ein la rechov, ein nasas ir nedachas, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. If there is no street to take all the different items to be burned in the of the city, the ir nedachas, so then you have no din of ir nedachas. So again, the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Larachov, Osen Larachov, if there's no road, to make a road, pave a road, and that will be the road. So what's the machlokas here? Ad kan lo pligi ela de marsaver rechova de meikara bainan, u marsaver rechova de hashinami ki de meikara dami. The only machlokas is that Rabbi Shmuel requires a rechov from the beginning. From the outset, you need a rechov, and if there was no rechov in the beginning, so you're potter. And Rabbi Kiva thinks, no, even if you make a road now, that's considered as if it was always there. That was the only debate. Everybody, though, agrees you need a road, though. It has to be a road. whether it was there in the beginning or not, there has to be a road for you to follow through with the dinner nedachas. And what's the reason for it? This because of, is there a pasuk here on the side? Doesn't put the pasuk in Rashi here. So the pasuk says here, "V'es kol shlola tikbots el toch rechova." The pasuk says you need a rechova. So we see everyone requires a rechova. We take the pasuk very literally. So the Gemara says, "Tanai, it's really machlokas tanai." The Tanai, the Mishnah tells us this is referring to a mitzora that ein lo bohen yad bohen regel ozen yimonis ein lo tara olamis. So when it comes to purifying the mitzvah, you put blood and oil on the big toe and the big thumb, the thumb, and then the ear. If he doesn't have any of these, he's stuck forever. There's no replacement. The pasuk says you need to put it on the yad, you need to put it on the regel, you need to put it on the ozen. If there is none, he's stuck. Rabbi Eliezer Omer nosin al makom b'yotzin. No, not true. You don't have to take the pasuk literally. You put it on the area. If there's no ear, you place it where the ear would be. If there's no thumb, you place it where the thumb should be, and so on and so forth. So we see there's a machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer whether the pasuk is meant to be taken literally. Rabbi Shimon Omer nosin al smol b'yotzin. He has a machlokas. He argues, says, no, if there's no right, you can put it on the left ear, the left thumb, and the left big toe. Let's do this next mission here. The Gemara says that, the Mishnah says, call an iskalim nitlin divrei Rabbi Eliezer. All those who get stoned get hanged as well. But Rabbi Chacham Omrim ein nitla ela hamegadif ha'ovid avodah zarah. He argues and says, no, only the one who megadif, who is cursing Hashem, and one who worships of avodah zarah, only those two get hanged, but no one else. Very, very important machlokas here. So the mission, exactly. You get stoned. Stoned first. After you get stoned, then you get hanged.
Now, so then, and you're dead.
Person's dead, exactly. So the machlokas why that is. Sefer Chinuch Ramban have a machlokas why. According to the Chinuch, he says the reason why you hang the person is to show as a deterrent, to show everyone this is what happens when you do these things.
Isn't the stoning, that's not enough, that they're letting everybody watch and get stoned?
Yes, so now they want an additional one when it comes to either Chachamim for all of them, or rather Rabbi Elazar for all of them, or Chachamim for these two are so bad, they require an additional type of deterrent.
We're talking about so bad. They get stoned for whatever they did. But now, why is one worse than the other?
No, because Megadef and Avodah Zarah is really Kofar Beikar. Shechil Shabbos is a bad thing. But right, to think there are other gods to curse Hashem, that really undermines all of Yiddishkeit. There are hierarchies in terms of the Averus. So they're so bad, so therefore you would hang them in addition to stoning them. So again, the Sefer Chinuch says the reason why is to serve as a deterrent. Ramban says the reason why is to have a greater nivel because of the chait. It's an additional onish for the guy. Even though he's dead, it's still, even the body somehow takes on additional punishment. So this machlokas Chinuch and the Ramban seem to go on to another machlokas of whether or not the idea of hanging is a continuation of misa, is it a continuation of an onish, or it's not considered an onish, it's just a deterrent. The onish is done with. So that's a machlokas in general.
Gone, right?
So there's a machlokas. So that's a machlokas which has a lot of nafkaminas. So, for example, when we have, the Gemara quoted a few times, even though there's no Mises Bezdin Bezman Azeh anymore, there is a din of Bezdin. The person deserves skila, he's going to fall off a cliff. The person deserves a strangulation, he'll get drowned in water. So there's no one ever discusses if the guy deserves hanging, will there be discussed, will he get hanged somehow? So the Gemara never mentions that, but the Tosis Rush, I think it's in Sota, he mentions if a person deserves hanging, he'll be hanged in some way as well, al piteva. So according to Tosis Rush, he assumes that hanging is some element of an onish, not simply a deterrent. And there are other machlokas. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel here, he takes a side. I forget exactly what side he takes, but it's here inside the Rishon talk about this inin and the Yadar Ma'os is very important here, whether or not, again, Taliyah is a hamshacha of the onesh, or it's a separate inyan of just being the farsim, the avera, to serve as a deterrent. The Mishnah continues to say now, ha'ish tolin also bipanav klapi ha'am. When the man's hanged, his face is the am, and ha'isha panav klapi ha'eitz, but the woman we face her, have face of the tree. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Chacham omrim ha'ish nitla vein ha'isha nitleis. He argues and says, no, women don't get hanged at all. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, alo shumim ben shetach tala noshim ba'ashkelon. What do you mean? We know ma'isa shahaya. That Shimon ben Shetach did hang women. Amru lo shmonim nashim tala vein danim shnayim v'yom echad. You know what? Not only did he do that, he killed 80 of them on one day. How could he do that? We know you can't kill two people on one day. So what's the answer? Elamai, it was a harasha ha'isa that he killed 80 people on one day. So too was a harasha that he killed women. He hanged women as well. Should we continue to the top to finish this gemara here? Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem. Everyone have a wonderful day.